Hillman on CliffCentral.com.
Right then, so here's the big question. When should you not work for free? Should you ever work for free? Should you do stuff for free? Is there ever a time when working for free is something that you should seriously consider? Where do you draw the line? When do you stop it? When do you start it? How do you know if you should do it? It's quite a complicated one. It is an issue that James Bloodworth is pretty fascinated with. James is a columnist for the International Business Times. He's also an author, and when he was releasing his new book, The Myth of Meritocracy, I think I'm saying that right, Why Working Class Kids Still Get Working Class Jobs, a book all about the burdens of unpaid labor, he was pretty taken aback when the Huffington Post wanted him to speak a little bit more about the book but weren't willing to pay him. Am I getting the gist of this right, James?
Yes, that's correct.
So your relationship now with unpaid labor, where are you at?
I don't do it myself, and I would encourage other writers not to do it either. I think it's on the one hand, it's about self-respect. So if you do a piece of work for someone in any industry, the creative industries as well, you should get paid for it. Yep. And also I think it's the more people that say no to doing this unpaid work, the more likely it is that companies have to pay writers, especially when they're starting out.
Let's really zoom out on writing, and specifically in the context of the 21st century, and with the advent of online and the advent of digital, writing used to be traditionally something that was in a newspaper or in a magazine, and then it seemed like it was a little bit more quantifiable in terms of how writers could bill or charge because the model was a little bit more waxed. But in an online space, it seems that the model for how writers should get remunerated doesn't seem to have a specific narrative or framework.
No, that's right. I think, for example, when I started writing, I started my own blog. I obviously didn't think I should be paid for writing my own blog. I think it's the startup costs online are clearly far less than they were when all we had was print newspapers. I mean, then you'd have to buy a printer. This would be, thousands of pounds worth of expense. But at the same time, I think some companies, like the Huffington Post, for example, are taking advantage of this new business climate. So I can understand that some smaller blogs, they exist online and they haven't figured out a model how to make money yet. I mean, I used to work for a blog. I used to edit a blog. A small blog, and we had no income. So people contributed, we made it very clear that we couldn't pay because we were only a blog, we were a non-profit, we didn't make any money. I think companies like Huffington Post, however, they are multi-million dollar companies. There is no real excuse not to pay their writers. You have people at the top of the company making vast sums of money. I think in that case, it's the new kind of internet environment, I think it's an excuse rather than something which really stops them paying writers.
I think the other interesting aspect about, the advent of the internet and how it might have changed, remuneration for writers is that whereas, in a country you may have a union for a specific group of people, you could have a union of writers in the UK. Because the internet is so global, rallying up everybody around one cause, ironically, is actually a little bit harder because you need writers who could be writing for the Huffington Post in India, in America, in the UK, in Italy, all around the world. You need them to kind of rally as one and say, we're no longer going to accept this. And that process of rounding up people and grouping people online and trying to find, the people that you can put together who could say no to this, where are you with that and how are you finding that process of getting everyone around one cause?
I think the kind of the globalization of journalism, to put it in a really simple terms, I think it reflects the way that the other forms of work are being globalized. And I think to some extent that's inevitable, but I think it's making it harder to make sure companies respect labor rights. So, for example, for another book I'm doing for next year, I've been working I've been working undercover basically at one particular multinational company in the UK where I finish now. One of the things I noticed there was most of the workers were from overseas. They weren't from Britain, and as a consequence, they didn't really understand what their labour rights were in this country. They were only planning to stay 1 or 2 months. In other words, the labour force was constantly in flux. You had people from different parts of the world, didn't really have one common understanding of their labour rights. I think in a way that's happening with places like the Huffington Post. You have people contributing all over the world. They don't really understand what should and shouldn't be expected of them. They don't necessarily. I think there isn't always the culture that there is in or has been in Europe, for example, which is, you know, you do a day's work, you get a reasonable amount of money in return. I think big companies can use that to their advantage to exploit people.
At what point do you draw the line with what's exposure and what's going to help you with a greater goal versus what's, you know, you being used?
I think in terms of exposure, I think the beauty of the internet is you can do these things yourself. You can promote yourself now. I don't think you do have to really you don't have to really give work away for free to people. I think you can use social media effectively, platforms like Twitter, Facebook, and you can set up your own blog and you can promote your work that way and get just as much exposure. I mean, on a personal level, I benefited far more from doing that than from writing for places like the Huffington Post for free when I started out. It was writing my own blog, promoting it kind of assiduously on Twitter, Facebook, building up a following slowly. And you do it that way. I don't think you do get that much of an extra advantage for writing blogs for places like the Huffington Post.
When you went on Twitter and these tweets of yours started to go viral after the Huffington Post said that they weren't going to pay you to do a piece that they'd asked you to do about a book that you'd written about being paid to do pieces, what was your sort of, you know, how did you feel with the different engagement that you got on the tweets? Was it all positive? Was it all negative? Was it mixed? What was the conversation that, you know, you sort of sparked?
It was pretty much all positive. I didn't get any negative. Like, there were thousands of retweets and likes, and I got, I think, one or two vaguely negative responses, but that was it. I was really shocked how it struck so much of a chord. I mean, I was on holiday at the time for the weekend, and that morning I got up and it just kind of annoyed me because it had happened on the Friday before I went away, and it was just kind of, it was still annoying me, so I thought I'd kind of vent a bit and take to Twitter and just tell people what had happened, because it was kind of shocking. I'd written this book about why working class kids often get working class jobs, and one of the chapters in it was about the impact of unpaid labour, so how that disadvantages children from poorer homes. And then it just made me mad that the Huffington Post had the kind of cheek to ask me to do this for free, when I was kind of lamenting the expectations companies like Huffington Post have that people will work for free. But it really struck a chord, and I think that's because, and not just with journalists and writers, but with creatives, with people who work in creative industries, who are sick and fed up of the expectation that they should give away their time, give away their work, give away their labour, for no remuneration. I think there's a cultural problem as well. It's not just the companies. I think if you look at the music industry, if you look at the film industry, there is a problem with consumers sometimes expecting this work for free. So journalism, for example, people complain if there's any kind of paywall on a website. Lots of people think it's perfectly natural to stream music for free without paying anything for it. So I think on the one hand, it is big companies who are taking advantage of people. But I also think there is a bit of a cultural problem where people expect creative work just to be given to them. There's a sense of entitlement that they're entitled to that for free. And I think that damages journalism as well as other creative industries.
Yeah, we still got a long way to go in terms of figuring out, you know, how to make the internet something that remunerates everybody fairly and equally. Certainly, we hadn't got that right in a real life context. So it's going to be interesting to see how we do in terms of getting that right on the internet.
Definitely.
What would the final takeaway from you be? I mean, you know, someone who is listening to this, trying to figure out how they put a rate card together or how they decide what they do for free and don't do for free. What would your final thoughts or advice to that person be?
I'd say it's first of all, not to be afraid to ask for payment for work you do. I mean, there's no other job really. You know, if you have a problem in your kitchen and you or your bathroom and you call a plumber, you wouldn't be kind of put out if they asked, you know, to be paid for the work they were going to do. So I'd say don't be afraid to ask for a fee. And there's no reason not to, especially if it's big companies like the Huffington Post or other big newspapers. They have the money to pay you. They're choosing not to pay you because they want to make more money. I'd say starting out, set up on your own as well. You can do this. There are blogging platforms which are free, which you can use. And you can build up your following on Twitter and places like Twitter and Facebook. You don't need to go cap in hand to these companies. And if you do approach them, if you do pitch to them, they should be paying you because they are making money off the work you've done. Mm. So you should be seeing at least some money from that.
And after you tweeted, I've just written a book on difficulty working class kids have breaking into the professions because of proliferation of unpaid work. You then said Huffington Post contacted me saying it sounded interesting. They asked me to write something. You said then, unfortunately, they wouldn't be able to pay me. However, despite being a multi-billion-dollar company. So here's my article. You are part of the problem at Huffington Post. That was a series of tweets that got thousands of retweets. Did Ariana reach out?
No, I didn't hear anything from anyone at the Huffington Post. No, I didn't expect to either. Well, I didn't expect it to take off in the first place, but I didn't. I mean, there's been a small storms kick off before about this. I mean, there was an incident a year or two ago where someone was refused publicly, someone with many more Twitter followers than me publicly refused to write for free and it kicked off a bit and they didn't receive a response then. So I didn't expect one.
All right. Well, certainly must have been an interesting time for you to go into a timeline and see thousands upon thousands of retweets, but a positive message to put out there nonetheless. James, thank you so much. Of course, the book is called The Myth of, and you're going to help me pronounce it, Meritocracy?
The Myth of Meritocracy.
Meritocracy. The Myth of Meritocracy. Very cool. Okay. While working class kids still get working class jobs, that book is out there. I would suggest that you go get it and pay for it and do all of that. James Bloodworth, thank you so much for hanging out.
Great. Thank you very much.
Pal, you can keep up with James. It's @J_Bloodworth on Twitter. An interesting story there. Where do you draw the line with working for free or not working for free? I have worked for free quite a bit in the beginning of my career, like interning and that kind of thing. So you got to figure it out for yourself. It's a personal narrative. You figure it out for yourself. But a cool chat with James there nonetheless. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.